Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. Once again, we are exploring the mystical side of life. I have a real treat for you today. James Ke'ali'i Pi'alani Kawa'inui. Welcome, James. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha kakiaka. Good morning.
As you may have guessed, James is of Hawaiian lineage. James, how did your ancestors call you on your path?
You know, for most of my life, I wasn't doing the things that I do now. And I lived a very different life, a very unconscious life. And I left Hawaii when I was really young. You know, it was the mid-70s and there was a recession and there wasn't a lot of work. And I had made a choice when I was younger. My occupation, my career wasn't going to be tourist related because of the ebb and flow of tourism. I didn't want that. And so I joined the military and I left. And long story short, I was gone for 25 years. And the last job I had in that part of my life, I was a senior executive in a multimillion dollar company. And I had departments that I was responsible for, and I traveled a lot for my company, and there were lots of things that I did. I was mostly left brain because it was all about process and document control. So it was a completely different world. And I came home from work after a particularly long week. And, you know, 60, 70 hour weeks were normal for me. And something happened that had never happened to me before. And as I was sitting on the sofa, just kind of ruminating about where my life was and things like that, I actually had someone walk up behind me. I felt a hand come back and hit me, smack me in the back of the head, like tap me in the back of the head. And a voice that said, "It's time to go home." And it was so abrupt and it was just out of nowhere. And I looked at my wife, who is my ex-wife now, and I said, "What the F are we doing here?" And she said, "I'm not sure." And I walked into the kitchen, I picked up the phone, I called my sister, and I said, "Who's living at the beach house?" And she said, "No one." I said, "I'm coming home." And I went into my boss's office the very next day, and I quit my job, and I sold everything that I had, and I moved back to Hawaii. And I was living in the States then. I was living actually in Ohio.
That's a huge decision to make so quickly.
It was, there wasn't even a second thought at that moment because of what happened and the way, you know, that was my first clairaudient experience. And it rocked me. I came to understand that that voice was my ancestors, my kupuna. And they were calling me back home.
And it was more than clairaudience because you actually felt something physical.
I haven't had very many experiences like that of being literally tapped in the back of the head, kind of like what your dad or your mom, you know, your dad would do when you were a kid and you're messing up, you know?
Time to get on the path, right?
It was. And so I went home and I didn't understand what was happening. But things were already happening because even before that happened, there were things that were happening in my life that I didn't quite understand. You know, maybe 3 or 4 years before that, people started showing up asking me to help them. I helped a friend because he had a bad shoulder and he walked into my office and he said, "I have a bad shoulder." And I kind of went around behind him and I started running my hands over him and I said, "Oh, you mean your shoulder hurts here?" And he went, "Oh my God, yes." And I did something. And his shoulder pain went away. And he was, "Wow, James, that was amazing." And then he went and told everybody else where I worked that that happened. And so then there was this, it's not a steady stream, but there was a consistent stream of people that started showing up. And I found that if I stood there and I just kind of passed my hand over their body, I would lock into the place that that was happening. And I would do something and it would go away and they would think that it was amazing. I would be left in awe because I didn't understand it. So that had already been happening. So I get home and the only thing that I could do was literally nothing. And so I tell people, and I actually did this. I would make my cup of Kona coffee in the morning. I would walk across the street, and it wasn't a street, it was a dirt road, barely a dirt road. And I would sit and I would stare at the ocean. And in all those times that I was staring at the ocean, what I was doing was I was letting go of my old life. And then slowly people started showing up, people that I didn't know that would just walk into my front yard, and they would start talking to me, and they would say, you know, you're supposed to be doing this and this and this. And I would look at them like they were absolutely crazy. I would send them packing. And yet at the same time, there was this door that was opening. And then I met a friend who became in some ways a mentor and a close friend. And she said, you know, your kupuna are talking to you. Your ancestors are talking to you. And that's been my journey for the last 21 years, you know, is that journey of being able to open myself more and more and more to that connection that I found out later on goes back over 20 generations in my family.
That ancestral line that you carry has a tradition of being healers and shamans.
And that was amazing to find out when I did find that out. As this started to happen, I could feel the energy of that, but there was a grace inside of that. A woman who introduced herself to our family, who said she was a cousin, who had done our genealogy, and literally handed me a spiral-bound notebook that had 16 generations of my ancestors in it. And it goes back to that. And during her research, she had found that we were, you know, the mystics and the healers and the advisors to the Ali'i, to the royal family. And Hawaiians still have this deep understanding and connection to nature and to energy, right? Everything is about energy. And if you understand how energy moves and what it does, then it gives us the ability to do fantastic and amazing things in our lives, right?
That is one of the reasons why I was called to study Huna. It is magical almost.
It is.
Yeah. James, were your ancestors some of the healers and kahunas whose bones were stored on the sacred land at Pu'u Hanua Ohonanau?
I've come to find out, because of the lineage that I carry, that my ancestors were there at Pu'u Hanua, at Hale o Keawe, which is the hale that still stands on the point when you go there, that, you know, there were 24, 26 generations of bones that were in there that were taken out after the kapu system was dismantled. But those were my ancestors.
That is such an amazing place. I mean, if you're sensitive to the energy and you step onto that sacred ground, you can just feel the vibration come through your feet all the way into your body.
I grew up just less than 10 miles away from there. It was a place that we went to often. You know, when my mom felt like she was having trouble in her life when we were really young kids, because I had an abusive father, and there were times after she learned how to drive that she would pack us up in the morning and we would go down there. And this is, you know, this is 40, 50 years ago. And you know that little bay that's right there when you first walk in? We used to hang out there all day. My mom would park herself under a tree, and my siblings and I would swim in that little bit, and we would swim there and we would play. And it was, if for me, it was just home, you know, it was a beautiful time. And it was special to be able to have that experience, you know.
One of the things you said is that starting your day at the ocean front and allowing that ocean to kind of wash away your old life. I mean, the ocean is an amazing and powerful healer. Not everybody is near the ocean or a body of water.
Even if you're not by the ocean, it's nature. It's getting outside of your home, it's getting outside of your apartment, and even if you live in a city, to find space that's outside, a tree, a patch of grass, or something that's there, and to just sit and to give yourself permission to disconnect. And when you're disconnecting, it's disconnecting energetically. In other words, put your phone down, sit quiet, right? And do something as simple as just breathing, right? And you can do that. And it's not just breathing. It's actually breathing as everything that's in your awareness in that moment. In other words, I'm breathing. And as I breathe, I feel the air as it moves through me. I feel my lungs expand and contract. That is my total focus in that moment. And can I give myself that for 3 or 5 minutes a day? And surely you are worth that 5 minutes or that 3 minutes a day to take time for yourself and go in and just find as best as you can and sit inside of that emptiness.
So James, let's go back to your busy career before you stepped onto the path of being a healer and how your ancestors connected with you. So we all have ancestors. Many people judge their ancestors or hold on to some ancestral baggage. Do you think that everyone already has help from their ancestors without having to consciously connect?
I think something to remember or to realize is that ancestral energy runs through us down in our DNA. So the information and the understanding, if you want, is already there and is already a part of you. Consciously connecting to them helps to strengthen that bond. And yet at the same time, it's already inside of us. And so can we just accept that that's a part of who you are, right? And allow that to happen. Allow the wisdom. If you just looked at grandparents on both sides of your family, right? And went back 25 generations, that's 4,000 people that came together to create you. So think about that for a second. Over 4,000 people, right? 4,000 human beings that came together consistently over those generations to create the person that you are right now, right? And so if you look at it in that way, in some ways, it's dishonoring them not to make that connection. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Currently, in today's timeline, a lot of people do judge past generations as, well, maybe not being as knowledgeable. And yet there's so much wisdom back there, so much wisdom.
There's two parts to that, right? So we look at the failings of our ancestors, right? And my comment to that is, it's really easy to go back and judge when things have already been done, because we have more knowledge, we have a different view, we have a different perspective, right? And so what happens if we realize that in the moment, they made the best choice they could, given the information that they had on hand? And yeah, it may not have been the right choice in that moment, or the correct choice, depending on how you want to look at it. Yet it was the choice that they made, right? And so do I go back and judge them for that? Or do I go back and look at that and go, got it, you did the best that you can. Can I let go of the judgment? Can I let go of what happened and just go, okay, that's what happened in that situation. Does that mean that this has to happen in the situation or in the now that I am in? No. Can I use that as information so that, if you want to look at it this way, so that I don't make the same mistake? Yes, we have the opportunity, right, to create that. So using that knowledge in that way and going, oh, I see what happened. I understand what happened. I'm going to choose, because of that information, to do something different, to create a different life, to be a different way. Thank you for showing me that that's not the way that I want to live my life. This is kind of where the ancient comes into science, into the modern, okay? And an understanding about how cellular memory is carried, or how we hold cellular memory in our bodies, right? When there is an event, especially if it's a traumatic situation or a traumatic event, in that moment, the body stores the memory in very specific ways. But the thing to understand, or the thing that's important here, is that this, what happens in that moment is that there's an energetic picture, literally an energetic snapshot of what happened, right? And when it's very traumatic, the energetic snapshot is so deep that it actually changes the atomic structure of the person that had the experience, and changing the atomic structure down to the DNA. And so that then becomes part of the DNA strand, is that memory of that situation or that event. And guess what happens? It gets passed on to the next generation, and it gets passed on to the next generation, and it gets passed on to the next generation. It becomes part, in some ways, of the operating system, which is the basic understanding of who we are. And so it's running in the background, and we're not even aware of it. And so when we come up against that, or when we get to places in our life where there are profound changes, right? And we go back and through the work that you do, however you do that. I know that I've had that experience with many of the clients that I work with, where I'm looking at them and I'm saying, tell me about your grandmother on your dad's side two generations ago. Do you know about that, right? How do I get to that place? I can't tell you that. I just know that there's that connection that comes through because of the work that I do through my ancestors, right? And so we go back, and maybe the easiest way is to tell a story. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
This is one that we can see it from an ancestral standpoint. I was working with a woman in Las Vegas about 10 years ago, and she came to me and she had a left knee that was constantly in pain, that she had seen every specialist and every doctor for and could not come up with what was happening. And so somebody told her about me, and she came to see me while I was there. And when we went inside and looked, there was a point where the only way that I can describe it is that the veil gets very thin. There's a dimensional reality where past, present, and future all exists at the same time. You understand that because of the work that you've done, Linda. And in that dimension, in that reality of where past, present, and future all exist, we jumped into that space, and I looked back, and there was four generations before her was a grandmother who had gotten hurt, who lost her left knee. As we're talking about that, she says, you know, my mom has left knee problems. My aunt had left knee problems. My grandmother had problems with her left knee. My daughter is having problems with her left knee. So all the women in their family had issues with that knee that took that injury back to that fourth generation, to that grandmother who had gotten hurt. In that moment of that recognition, literally what happens is it's almost like all the dominoes fall apart so that they can get rebuilt. And inside of us, the vibrational frequency changes. I remember the first time this happened, it was like standing at the foot of a table after I had worked on someone. And remember how you used to watch our computers defrag and all the random files would get put back? I literally saw that happening. It was like the line going across her body like this. And I was like, wow, I was watching it happen. And that's what happened. So we come into a different vibrational frequency. That vibration that we had lived with no longer exists, or no longer we are no longer connected to it. Let me put it that way. It's not that it no longer exists, but it's still a memory, but the memory doesn't have the emotional tag that it did before that.
Exactly. And did you find that the other family members that had that knee issue, that it dissolved for them?
Yeah, because then what happens is it goes laterally to wherever, because it goes backwards and forwards. And I've actually watched that. And I say that to people sometimes. you've just went through this experience. Pay attention to the people around you, because you may see subtle changes. Over time, you will notice the difference inside of the family. And I've seen that happen too many times to discount it.
I love when that happens, when you make a change on the inside and it affects your environment and relationships.
You have to remember, it's the energy. And so my energy changes, so the energy around me has to change, right? My frequency changes, the frequency around me changes. And that's why I say that, and that's where the ancient and the wisdom comes into the science and the modern.
So James, how would you recommend people start opening that door to their ancestors?
First thing that comes to me when you say that is prayer, right? Pule, remember? Remember when you started learning how to pule? It's prayer. We create an intention. You know, I've had a teacher say to me a long time ago, and it was true, and I needed to hear it. Intention is 90% of the process, right? Having the direction and the clarity is also important. It's something I do every day. Every day, at least twice, in the morning and in the evening, I go in, and this is just me, right? I say, mahalo ke akua, which is God, which is source, right? I say, mahalo to my kupuna, and mahalo to my guides, guardian, and angels. I tell them, I said, I am grateful for your presence in my life. I acknowledge you as part of who I am. As part of that process, I also say, help me to be a better person today than I was yesterday.
Mahalo means thank you.
Mahalo means thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for this connection. I acknowledge this connection. And if there's something or a challenge that's going on, and I say, I need your help. Help me, please, to, and then state what that is. All right. This is an important distinction, though. It's not just about asking, right? It's also about understanding that and being able to receive that when it shows up. And that's where a lot of it breaks down sometimes, because I will ask for everything. And I usually see two things that happen. One, when the answer comes, I'm not listening. That happens a lot. Or two, there's more than that, but yeah, two, sometimes the answer that comes is not the answer that I want, right? And I have to believe that the connection exists. And most people don't have that belief. And we live in this society is that unless you can prove it to me, it's not there. I can't see air, so air is not there, please.
You know, James, as you're talking, I mean, it just triggered a memory in me of something that's actually really pertinent. I've been married for a crazy amount of years, like 40 years. It's ridiculous.
Good for you.
But my mother-in-law was a real challenging relationship for me for the whole time she was alive. And she came to me in a dream a few years after she passed. And she offered to help me. I didn't say anything in the dream, but I took a step back. And she said, oh, you're not ready. I became lucid. She left, right? And I'm like, wait, come back. Because like, I have such a narrow perspective here in my human experience. One of the things is, you know, we're not willing to receive. And in that moment, even my unconscious mind was not willing to let go of the past and accept her guidance.
Yeah, you know, acceptance and forgiveness is a really big piece, and we could spend a lot of time on that, you know. In that acceptance and forgiveness, then can we be able to see the people that we may have conflict with in a different light? Because we are in some ways judging them for where they are inside of their lives, not understanding the perspective or how they got to that point. And maybe not being able to see the soul that exists inside of that, that is that light that you're talking about that came back to see you, right? I remember a teacher saying to me, can you love the serial murderer the same way you love the Dalai Lama? And I thought at the time that she was insane. And yet, can we see the soul that's behind whatever the human is doing in that moment and see the beauty of that and realize that that soul has a purpose, that soul has a journey. I'm not to be the judge of the journey of that soul. And that acceptance that we were talking about and that receiving really starts from self-acceptance.
Is there any last little tidbit of wisdom you'd like to share with us?
Give yourself permission to open that doorway. Do it consistently. Feels like there's nothing happening. Trust me, there is. There is. I've watched it time and again in my life as well as in other people's lives. Keep that door open and keep talking to them. They've come back so many times and have reiterated this. Let's just put it this way. This is what I got told once. We're always watching. Even if you don't think we are. And that's not to scare you. That's just to let you know that they're always there. And the thing about it is that they're not allowed to intervene. And yet they're there for us to rely on them for guidance. I've had my ancestors intervene, but I was doing some really stupid stuff at the time.
I think it takes a lot of energy for the spirits to come through to the physical to do that. But yep. I agree, on occasion.
If you're putting yourself in harm's way and you're stepping off the path in a dramatic way, they will redirect. I've had that happen.
Big brother is watching, right?
Exactly. In a good way.
In a good way. In a good way. Wonderful, wonderful. James, please share your website, your contact information.
Sure. It's really easy. If anybody wants to contact me, they can. And it's jameskawainui@gmail.com. So K-A-W-A-I-N-U-I. And my website is the same way. It's jameskawainui.com. So try to make it as easy as possible. There is a book that I want to share that I'm really proud of. It was a collaboration with 24 other authors, and the book's called The Ancestors Within. And I wrote a chapter in the book, and it's called Clearing Ancestral Trauma, Letting Go of the Pain and Suffering of the Past. And it was a journey that I had taken and a conversation that I had with my ancestors about connecting to the wisdom. There are other stories as amazing as the story that I wrote as well in there. So I think it would be very helpful for people that are on the path and are wanting to create a better connection to their ancestors.
Thank you so much, James.
Pleasure is all mine. I am grateful for the opportunity to share.
Wonderful. It was absolutely my pleasure to have you here. And thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You will find all of our conversations on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out some of our other episodes. Make sure you comment, share with a friend, and remember to subscribe. Come and visit me at thoughtchange.com. Explore what energy medicine can do for you. And please check out my group, Alchemy from the Inside Out. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time. Bye for now.